The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything that you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. I've been so pumped to take a couple of friends with our road bikes to some of the trails nearby, and now I can bring the entire crew, my dog, and all of our gear with that third row. Learn more about the new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. On this episode of the Heat Check, it's time for a check-in on the first round of the playoffs. Some of these playoffs looking like they're destined to go the distance, while others are coming to a rapid close. Looking at you, Lakers! Didn't get swept, congratulations, and one has already been flushed in four, aka the Phoenix Suns. We'll give you some updates on the playoff series, so let's not waste any more time. Anthony, your Lakers got a dub, so drop that motherfucking beat. That should be Rihanna. Okay. So we finished the second weekend of playoff basketball. Man, it's already feeling like it's getting late early, isn't it? Jeez, these fucking playoffs go fast. Anyway, we head down the stretch. We've got some surprising and some not-so-surprising developments. I will catch you up on all eight series because I love staying up till 1 a.m. I love giving you the details about what is popping. Let's start out west. OKC. I mean, what do we say about them? People were wondering, are they too young? Are they going to be able to get a little scare from the big body Pelicans? I am sorry. They are taking care of business fast. They are up 3-0 against the reeling New Orleans Pelicans, and it does not look like they're getting a game. They now face an impossible task, trying to get a game from the Thunder. OKC is just so deep, so solid, it's scary. Shea, he can score 24 and blow you up by 30. Doesn't even matter. Chet can score 6 when you get blown out by 30. You got Josh Giddey. Where the fuck did he come from? A.K.A. P. Giddey had 21 in Game 3. And the Thunder team defense is just smothering. How good have they been? How about a 96.2 team defensive rating through 3 games? Yes, I called him P. Giddey. Jesus Christ. They look like they're playing 6 players on the floor instead of 5. Lou Dort's everywhere. Shea's defensive rating on his own is 95.2, which would be insane. If Chet Holmgren's defensive rating, because everybody was wondering about how he would hold up, 89.2. They are running Jonas Valanciunas off the fucking floor. So much for him being too skinny. So much for him being too young for the lights to be too bright for the rookie. The OKC Thunder are as good as advertised. And while I don't think they'll get to the finals, I'm watching Denver Nuggets fuck around. Go down by 20 every single fucking game. I'm looking at Jamal Murray with a little bit of an injury, some sort of calf strain. And I told you, yes, this Nuggets team, when fully healthy, is unbeatable. But if you have a Jamal Murray injury, oh, all bets are off. All bets are off. Also, by the way, just like, this is going to be an awesome West Finals. Whoever's in the West Finals, it's going to be fucking great. The number 2 seed Nuggets. They decided, you know what? We just won't try in the fourth quarter. They just were horrible. I don't even know what was going on with them against the Lakers. After 12 straight consecutive losses, the LA Lakers finally beat Denver, and they avoided the LeBroom. So I was wrong. They did not get swept. 3 things about this. First of all, no one, and I mean no one, beats the Lakers, I guess, 13 straight times. I guess that's the number. 13 is the magic number. Second of all, Anthony Davis, who got killed on social media, I would like to say I was a part of that. After game three, last second Jamal Murray game-winning dagger. And then AD threw Darvin Ham under the bus and his teammates under the bus by saying that they all looked lost and they had no idea what they were fucking doing. Apparently, he knew what he was doing because he had 25 and 23 rebounds and was an absolute dominant force pretty much the entire game. Third, you knew LeBron James wasn't going out like that. Hat tip to him. Absolutely willed his team to victory. 35-4 and solid defense, especially late when the Nuggets were threatening to do what they always do. Of course, LeBron James threw a tantrum, which he's known to do, hates fucking Darvin Ham. We just know it. He's stomping his feet up in the air and pulling his hands down like he is 3 years old. Yo, call for a fucking challenge. I said, I am LeBron James. Call for that fucking challenge. Anyway, D'Lo, who had an awful game three, 0 points. He got clowned all over social. It is time to log back on to social media, D'Lo, because you bounced back big time, 21-4-4. No one wants to see anyone play that badly in the NBA playoffs, so I'm glad for it. Nuggets had a bad game. I guess it happens. Remember, the Timberwolves did get one, and it was a gentleman sweep back at the crib. The issue now is that, like I said, Jamal Murray has a calf strain. That is absolutely rut-row. They now go to game five in Denver. Man, the way that the Lakers have been playing early, I don't even want to put that ugly on the Denver Nuggets, but like, without Jamal Murray, can the Lakers steal one in Denver? They need to put this shit to bed soon. Like, get them done, because they get a little life. Remember, 3-1, like, they get a little life. They just continue to get life. Some people were shocked, by the way, that the number two Timberwolves went up 3-0 and had an elimination game on the road. But let's face it, the train has just like left the station on the Suns. It's a wrap for you. Blow it up. There's nothing right with this roster. You know, it's crazy because you've got three Supermax guys all on the same team, which is fucking crazy. And like, team can't score. How do you have... You have to get like 40 points from every player. Those three players in order to have a shot. Bradley Beal was awful. He had one good game. Kevin Durant was doing his best. Devin Booker had a great game. He put up 40. But it's just not going to work. You have no point guard. You have no center. You're in deep into the luxury tax, into the second apron. Adrian Wojnarowski basically said, this is a team that's not built for this era of the salary cap. What are they going to have to do? Probably force Bradley Beal, probably waterboard Bradley Beal until he waves his trade clause. Wave it. Send him to Miami. They fucking need some scoring help. It's just not going to work. It's not a surprise. They came out firing against the Wolves in an elimination game. They took a 5-point lead at home. But again, it's just... Just can't really beat a team that's as deep as the Timberwolves, as tough as the Timberwolves, as physical as the Timberwolves, and as big. This team is absolutely pygmy shrimp. You need KD to be playing 4 or 5? That's just not going to work. Yusuf Nurkic was in foul trouble from the moment he stepped on the fucking floor. Drew Eubanks? Don't even get me started on Drew Eubanks.
It's done.
Connor!
The goal of the year,
Panarin!
Part of the past, the celebrations, forgotten, the history,
Vegas Golden Knights.
History, we're back to a blank slate, clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Man. A wild moment happened on this game. Just like probably going to get lost in the footnotes of history. Mike Conley somehow ran into Chris Finch, took out his knee, and now we ended up with the crazy-ass delay in a game that was 117-113 at the time with a minute and change on the clock. Chris Finch helped off the court. Turns out Chris Finch has a torn patella tendon. But the big takeaway from this series is not Devin Booker coming through with almost 50 points in an elimination game. It's not Kevin Durant chipping in 33. It was everyone who decided they wanted to question what Ant Edwards was and him delivering on the largest stage, and in a way where now people are saying this might have been the greatest fourth quarter in playoff history. He went absolutely nuclear. He made sure to get out not just the broom, but the shovel and the dirt, and he did all the digging for the Phoenix Suns by him fucking self. And when I say that Ant Edwards went nuclear, I mean just absolutely SAR bomba nuclear. 50 megatons. Ant Edwards hitting threes, middies, running scoops. Went and had a viral moment against Devin Booker with a soul-snatching block and a dunk that could probably say could have ended Bradley Beal's career. He ended the game with 40 points, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists, 7 for 10 from 3. 7 for 10 from 3. That is not his MO. He flipped up a 4-0, which was absolutely fitting. Then he went on national TV and said, I've been watching Kevin Durant's game since I was about 5 years old. I love him so much. Go the fuck home. Time for you to find a new location to play basketball. Oh my God. And just like that, Phoenix is over. Like I said, it's basically Brooklyn part two. You can't put three stars together and put a supporting cast of guys who work at Best Buy and characters taken from the Shanghai Sharks and win in an NBA setting. Maybe 15 years ago you could. Not when you got the second apron. I'm sorry. The Wolves deserve to win this series. They are definitely going to be a serious threat to the Denver Nuggets, who await them in the next round. But guess what? Even if the Nuggets close it out in five, they're going to have more rest over Denver. And I think Ant Edwards thinks he can win that series. I believe that. And without Jamal Murray or a hamper Jamal Murray, you think it was bad on Kevin Durant? Wait till Ant Edwards is clapping in his face and pushing his body around. Whew. On the other side, what's going to happen to the Phoenix Suns this offseason? I already know. I'll have thoughts on that later. Check out the Instagram because I've got a little early ones now. But for now, they're just disappointing on every level. They have a future that is incredibly bleak with a salary cap designed to punish them. Anyway, finally, the only competitive series in the entire West is the number 4 Clippers versus the 5 Mavericks, which is tied now 2-2. What a great game 4. It looked like one of those games where you might want to finally turn on Dune, you know, like maybe this is the day. I got my nails done. I went and got my nails did, and I turned on the game just to see what was up. And boy, oh boy, did it get interesting fast. Mavs come down, back from 31 down. Game was in the balance until, James Harden decided to hit the MVP Houston Rockets Wayback Machine. He turned into 2016 James, just midi after. Also, six-man James Harden from OKC. 4 consecutive times he scored on ISO possessions in the mid-range. Mavs breathing down his necks. Harden put P.J. Washington, Derek Jones Jr., and Luka on the hibachi. He had Luka saying, I think I'm letting my teammates down. Kyrie, so the Clippers won, 116-111. Kyrie in Dallas, by the way. Kyrie was fucking amazing. Just, if it wasn't for James Harden doing what he did, Kyrie would have brought them back to the promised land. 40 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Some of the 3-point shots that he hit were, you just couldn't even believe it. This was offset by an incredible game, like I said, from James Harden, 33-6-7. Paul George had 33-6-8. By the way, Paul George, at times in the second half, looked lost. Like 2-3 offensive fouls, a lot of off-arm push-offs. But they just simply would not let the Clippers lose. Like I said, what James Harden did put Luka in a mind blender. He was super apologetic. He said, I feel like I'm letting Kyrie Irving down. I've got to help him more. Has Kyrie Irving found a place that actually appreciates and loves him? Also, Luka is not right. Right knee soreness, definitely not 100%. 10 for 24 is not going to do it, though, dog. Especially in a game that was within one possession late. The truth of the matter is, if the Dallas Mavericks can start at least fine, mediocre, good. They can win pretty much every game against the Clippers. If they put themselves in a 30-point hole, yeah, you're going to expend a ton of energy. It's going to be hard for you to come back. The big news is that, like we thought, Kawhi Leonard, mysteriously, now out indefinitely. I said this when he initially had his right knee inflammation, or left knee, I don't even remember which knee, both knee inflammation, that it's only a matter of time before the Clippers shut him down again. His knee is now acting up, and I'm not sure what the Clippers are going to do without him long term. Now, in the short term, the Clippers, I think, are actually better off without Kawhi. After a largely healthy season, which he was playing at an MVP level, sucks. It sucks for him to be injured like this again. I don't know what you do if you're the Clippers now, because you just paid the man and extended him for another 4 more years, and you got a new arena opening up. So it's time for you to get back to the negotiating table with Paul George, because otherwise you are fucked. So to recap the West, one sweep, two completely lopsided series, and one that might go the distance. Out East, after a shocking 10-point win over minus 8,000 favorite Boston. I can't even begin to express to you what minus 8,000 means if you're a betting person. Like, minus 8,000 means you can tell them they can rip your heart out of your chest if that team doesn't win. That's how much of a lock it normally is. Anyway, the Heat, they don't care about your minus 8,000. They come back to earth in game three, though. Celtics go up 24 at halftime. You could tell it was pretty much a wrap when it was like 7-3. Cruise to a 20-point victory in Miami. You got Jimmy Butler talking shit on the sideline, only for the team to get blown out. Now the Celtics are up 2-1. They head into game four. I don't know what the Heat do. I don't know if they have it in them to make this a series. I hope they do, because we can't stand. This is not a Boston Celtics show. No, it's not. Regardless, I think the series shows the gap between an elite coach like Eric Spoelstra and a meh coach like Joe Mazzulla. The Celtics have just way too much talent, though. The talent gap is too much for Eric Spoelstra to overcome. All they needed was, like, I don't know, a player that's like a healthy Dame Lillard. That would have been nice, huh? The Celtics are so good, they can overcome bad coaching against a team without Jimmy Butler on it. So, case in point about Joe Mazzulla, he was asked about the difference between the regular season and playoff basketball. And Joe Mazzulla, he never ceases to amaze. He dropped this little baby, this little gem. He said, to me, I know it's mundane and the playoffs create a lot of hysteria, but there's no difference between a regular season and a playoff game. Are you serious? I'm sorry, what? No difference? None. I don't know. Like, usually when you're playing in the regular season, you're playing the same team twice in a row, max. Max. Usually you're moving on to Cincinnati. You're now playing the same team 4 to 7 times in a row, and it becomes, instead of just like an exhibition game, it is now a chess match. Tightened rotations, I don't know, you're playing instead of getting ready and trying things out. Didn't this man say he was trying out things in the regular season and experimenting to try to get ready for the playoffs? If there's no difference between the playoffs and the regular season, then why are you experimenting for something that's exactly the same as the regular season? He doesn't make sense. Primetime games, raucous crowds, no difference. I am cautiously optimistic that the Heat can steal another game, but we're going to see. Joe Mazzulla, what the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, the best series of the playoffs, by far, is the number 2 seed Knicks versus the number 7 seed Sixers. Man, Knicks were a 5-point underdog at Wells Fargo Arena, and they made themselves known. They win in Philly and actually made it so bad that Joel Embiid turned on his own fucking fans. We'll get to that in a second. They now take a commanding 3-1 lead and have the chance to close out the series at MSG on Tuesday with me in attendance. I will be in the building rocking my Knicks coat, even if it's 87 degrees up in there. You know what time it is. Game 4, Jalen Brunson. You could only apparently shut him down for 2 games. He is now in the conversation for best Knick in the last 30 years. That's where we're at with Jalen Brunson. He may be the most home run signing this team has ever had. He carried the Knicks with an all-timer. Incredibly chippy. Him and Joel Embiid were going back and forth, two cheap shots. This after Joel Embiid sidelined Mitchell Robinson with this, like, some sort of, like, figure four headlock, leg lock, game three. It was Brunson, though, who stole the show. He was 18 for 34, incredibly efficient. Two for, by the way, I got to send some texts to people who were slandering Jalen Brunson after game one and two, by the way. Two for eight from three, 47 points, four rebounds, but get this, 10 assists. It was an all-time record playoff performance for the Knicks. And now Philly heads back to MSG licking their wounds for an elimination game. Apparently, one person in attendance wasn't a fan. When asked what he thought of Brunson's 47-point performance, Kelly Oubre was like, yeah, he took 34 shots. Anybody who shoots 34 shots and has skill and is a great player, they're going to be able to do that. Wow. Kelly Oubre. He basically was like, you're a bitch, you're a bitch, your mom is a bitch, your grandma's a bitch. Embiid was 27, 10, and 6, just kind of like a meh Embiid performance. We'll see how he responds in front of a raucous, hostile crowd. He was pissed, like I said. Turned on his own fan base after game four because, let's be honest, Knicks fans decided, we'll drive the hour and a half. We'll take the Acela. You mean I can get there in 90 minutes for a 1 p.m. game? We are up in this bitch. Apparently, Embiid was upset how many Knicks fans were in attendance. He said this to Fred Katz. I love our fans. I think it's unfortunate. I'm not calling them out, but it's disappointing. Obviously, you got to see a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road, and I've never seen it, and I've been here for 10 years. Yeah, it kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town. They've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. Yeah, it's not okay. By the way, the Knicks haven't been good like this, so get ready for this sustained dominance. Here's a little fact. Here's a little nugget for fans that are Sixers fans. The Knicks are recruiting Joel Embiid as we speak. They've been talking about it openly for like 12 months. So you don't want to show up? I know a place that will show up. I know a place that will drive down 90 minutes down the road and invade an arena. Friend of show and former boss Spike Eskin, current WIP host, had this to say. I understand why Embiid was frustrated with the fans, but he is wrong and should not have said it. It is up to the team to give people faith and excitement, and if they do, people won't sell their tickets. They've been disappointed year after year and are rightly skeptical. Knicks and the Sixers are real beef. Crips and Bloods down I-95, baby. Down I-95. Moving on. There are now real issues going on with the Milwaukee Bucks. Oh, boy. You know when you just, like, imagine how bad it could be, and then it's, like, actually worse? You know? That's the Milwaukee Bucks. I imagine that the Milwaukee Bucks would lose the series to the Indiana Pacers. I just thought maybe there was a chance. There was too much offense from the Pacers, and they wouldn't be able to keep up. The pick-and-roll game between Dame and Giannis would not flow as well as we were hoping it would. And now we can say truly that this is an unmitigated disaster because the pick and roll we were hoping to see, not seen one game of that. Giannis hasn't played a game in the playoffs with a calf strain. And now Dame is also out indefinitely with an Achilles something. He was seen in a walking boot. They are down now 3-1 after an absolute beatdown in Indiana in game four without Dame and Giannis. It was close for a while, and then they broke it open. The Pacers shot 51% from deep, including Miles Turner bombing 7 threes. Halliburton got it going too, 24-4-4. 5 for 12 from three, good for him. Bobby Portis, by the way, got ejected early. That killed everything that they wanted to do. And then for the bettors, Brooke Lopez was 60-1. To be the leading scorer of that game, 60-1. And then, all of a sudden, mere seconds left in the game, Miles Turner decides he's going to shoot a last-second three, and he's going to be the leading scorer. What a terrible beat for whoever bet that. Dame is now out who knows how long. Game 5, Doc Rivers. Did we talk about this? I don't think we did. Doc Rivers threw Dame under the bus, basically said that Dame was a decoy at the end of Game 3, which was an absolute barn burner, and said that he lacked all explosiveness. Let's read the quote. I will find it for you right now. Damian Lillard, I think it's his Achilles again, so we'll see. Honestly, Dame was really struggling. In the overtime, he literally said, I'll be the decoy. I just can't go as far as explosion. So I thought Dame just being out there was huge for us. Hey, Doc. New follower of the show, by the way. New follower of the podcast. You didn't have to say that, my guy. That was not necessary. You did not have to telegraph that. You could just been like, yeah, I'm not sure what's up with Dame. We're going to have to run some tests. Maybe he tweaked something. I'll let you guys know. And then don't let them know. That's the game plan, okay? Anyway, the series that no one is talking about is also one of the most competitive ones in the East, is shockingly the Cavaliers versus the Magic. After two blowout wins, game one, game two, the Cavaliers thought they were going to roll into Orlando with a lot of swag and a broom. Evan Mobley playing at an elite level. Jared Allen has been great. Donovan Mitchell seemed to be headed down towards a heat check. And then, all of a sudden, it all went night-night sleep mask. No team in the playoffs looked worse in games 3 and 4 than the Cavs. Magic just simply, like, ran them off the court, honestly. Magic won by an average of 30 points. Let me just say that again. The Magic beat the Cavs by an average of 30 points in game 3 and 4. And frankly, neither game ever felt close. Magic were 29-12 at home this year for a reason, and that reason is showing itself right this fucking second. So we got a full-on mystery headed into Game 5 in Cleveland. Which Cavs team shows up? Which Magic team shows up? Can the Magic shoot threes in any arena other than their own? We will have to see. Will Donovan, who is absolutely awful in Orlando, averaging 15 a game, bounce back? A lot of questions. I feel like Donovan Mitchell must be aggressive in order for the Cavs to win that game. I have a feeling this thing goes the distance. The first round comes to an end this week, and we will be here to break it down for you. Plus, I'll give you an on-the-scene report from Madison Square Garden for Game 5. Can't wait. That's all the time that we have for this episode of the Heat Check. Come back on tomorrow for an all-new episode as the first round of the playoffs progresses. Maybe tomorrow. And check out the feed for past episodes and mini-episodes which drop unexpectedly, like the Bucks in the first round. Do not forget to follow the Heat Check as we head into the playoffs. That means download. That means subscribe. That means tell your friends. Even Miles Turner, tell him, hey, Miles, they're not going to trade you. Save some threes for the rest of the series. Don't use them all up. And while you're winding down from your incredible game, get into the ice pack and throw on the Heat Check. It's dope. And don't forget to follow us at this Heat Check and on Trista Crick on TikTok, Twitter, and IG. And very soon, someday, YouTube.